On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
A sewage pipe burst. Evidently, it was rainwater. Hadn't rained, though. DEA pulled up. Nothing to do with the team, though. DEA was just at the team facility, but nothing to do with them. There's some emails floating around. That guy doesn't work here anymore. Nothing to see here. The one thing that, of course, nobody could possibly up is retiring Sean Taylor's jersey. The man that means so much to this fan base. No chance you're going to mess that up. No way. There's no way. You finally retired Bobby Mitchell's jersey. You did it the right way. You announced it in June for a September ceremony. Took too damn long. Poor guy was dead. But whatever. It happened. You did it the right way. There's no chance on earth. None. Nunca. They just simply can't screw this one up. Every time you think it can't get worse, it gets worse. This is the Washington Football Talk Podcast. What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. I wish I had answers. I wish I could tell you. I wish we were just going to talk about Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and how on earth this defense can stop them. That's what I wish we were starting with, but we're not. Starting with another mess of their own creation. Washington football team announced on October 14th that they will be retiring the jersey of team legend Sean Taylor on October 17th. I'm joined by Pete Haley and Mitch Tischler. I simply ask you gentlemen this. Is that enough time to make that announcement?
Nope.
No. And I ask you this. Do you need a hug from either one of us?
Yeah. No, I don't need a hug.
Okay.
This is the one trump card that this team, this franchise had. You want a stadium packed with Washington football fans? Announce this over the summer. People will come from far and wide to celebrate Sean Taylor's life and to celebrate the fact that they are finally retiring his number and to do it in a hurried manner and with 3 days' notice is egregious to say the least.
This was, you had the ball on the 1 yard line. The defense wasn't even on the field. You just snap the ball and walk into the end zone and celebrate. And they fumbled the snap and kicked it 99 yards the other way out of bounds for safety. The ultimate botch.
They f***ed up and it's so ridiculous. And I'll credit Jason Wright for apologizing. How on earth does this happen? You had the Coldplay thing. Tell the Coldplay thing.
Yeah. I think kind of at the same time, maybe a couple hours before, FedEx Field Twitter account tweeted out that Coldplay is coming 8 months away from right now. They could announce Coldplay's arrival, a nice band, a popular band, months ahead, but they only had 3 days of time to announce one of the most beloved players of this era is being retired and properly honored. So, well, you get your Coldplay tickets now, but if you wanted to see Sean Taylor's retirement ceremony, you might be out of luck.
It's honestly.
What about Tim Meek?
He's yeah.
Indiana. What about B. Hall from Wilmington, North
dudes.
Carolina? All these dudes that make plans. People make plans. Just because I don't make plans and I have to be at every game doesn't mean everybody's going to be at every fucking game. Let people plan.
Yeah.
And let the build up. Let it be cool. Let there be anticipation. You know what's cooler than sex? The build-up to sex.
Mm.
Let it build up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but
yeah. That's what I was going to get at, is that we knew that Alumni Weekend was going to be this weekend, homecoming, whatever the hell they're calling it. I guess the Sean Taylor announcement was the announcement that it's homecoming, because no one knew that homecoming was going to be this weekend anyway, which is something that diehard fans do enjoy, getting to see Riggo, getting to see all the old guys come back and be paraded around the field. We knew that Pedro Taylor was going to be here, and in some regard, there was going to be an honoring of Sean Taylor with his father in the stadium. So,
right, it's worth pointing that out. We knew that right. Pedro Taylor was going to be here a few weeks ago.
How is that not a blast?
I'm not entirely convinced they were always retiring his jersey. Pedro and the family were always going to be here. We've known that for less than a month, but more than 2 weeks. I'm not entirely convinced the retiring of the jersey was always planned. Are you?
No.
How the hell can you be?
No. I think Ryan Clark tweeted that someone had reached out saying, hey, we're going to honor Sean. But honor and retiring his jersey are two different things.
I've asked a few people if they knew they were retiring it. One said yes. Three others said no.
Yeah. So that might be. So the team can say, look, this isn't a distraction. We had this in the works. But maybe they're trying to up the festivities by saying, oh, instead of honoring, let's retire. That will get us some goodwill. It's just hard. This should be a tremendous celebration. Instead, it's going to be rushed pregame in front of a game that's probably going to end in just
now. I'm now hearing they might do something at halftime as well. Like,
okay.
The announcement of this thing is such a f***ing train wreck. You took really kind of the last joyous thing we got. Unless you're going to start retiring Daryl Green, John Riggins,
right.
Art Monk. Like, unless you're going to start retiring a bunch of numbers. Sonny Jurgensen. Unless you're going to start retiring a bunch of numbers. This is the last thing for a while. Because this team ain't marching down Pennsylvania Avenue anytime soon. They're not going to be any Lombardis out here for a while. So this is it. And you took it of Mice and Men, right? Everybody's read it or seen the book,
yes.
Whatever. You know Lenny with the fucking
mouse in his hand?
Yeah.
And he crushes it?
And he crushes it.
Yes.
That's what just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no other way to put it. And you see the anger from fans on social media and all that. And today and tomorrow, whatever day you're listening to a timestamp guy, it's Thursday at... what, 3 o'clock?
A little shy of 3 p.m.
A little shy of 3 p.m. By the time Sunday rolls around, it's going to be a celebration of Sean Taylor, and we're going to all share our memories of... All deserved. But the fact that fans from out of town and by and large...
Fans here! What if people...
didn't have an opportunity to be prepared for it and be ready for it.
You could be from Laurel and just have plans on Sunday. Oh, break.
Yeah, I went to go visit my family this weekend. I would have liked to have stayed.
My aunt... is having her birthday.
Yeah, we could going to scheduled. The pumpkin patch with my daughter. Like,
right,
whatever it is.
Right.
By the time you listen to this, maybe they've adjusted it somehow. I don't know. But it's really sad. Sean deserves better. A lot of people deserve better. And even though maybe the people organizing this haven't been around for 2+ decades of shit, they're just now contributing to the giant pile. Just gets a little more manure on top.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of good that the new regime has done in the building and in general, and they're dealing with a lot of things right now that aren't of their own doing that happened before they were here. This is something they had control of and that they could have done in a much better fashion. And it's something that it's something that you have to do better knowing the magnitude of this moment for a fan base.
And I think the guest, I don't know if it was Peter Rosenberg, JP, who first brought it up, but the people who are saying this group who botched this, they're also in charge of coming up with our name.
Yeah.
That's a really good thing
I
to jump
that.
To.
That's Here's the thing, man.
Terrifying now.
To botch this bad on a pretty serious level is a misunderstanding of what matters to your fans. It is.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. And if you can mess that up, what else can you mess up?
Oh, this is a huge thing, but there are bigger things that will last for decades upon decades that are going to be decided coming up. And we already were losing confidence in that with all the surveys and the screwing up of the rollouts. I mean, this team can't even run a smoke machine properly right now. So, I don't know. The level of surprise, it's zero, but at the same time, you still just kind of shake your head when you see these things happen.
But the flip side also... they had a guy that understood the history and the pageantry and what mattered to fans.
Yeah.
In Bruce. He was it. The dude was born into this. His father's a Hall of Fame coach. Got a team to a Super Bowl here.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up here. Grew up in McLean. Has a McLean accent.
Yep.
That didn't work either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the answer is. And I'm not trying to condemn an entire new group of people, but all the things I read in the open, or I didn't read, I just said, the water pipe, the damn rainwater.
Mm-hmm. The raid.
the DEA. That's not old stuff. That's new stuff. That's this regime.
Yeah.
This Sean Taylor thing. You can't blame Bruce for this.
I mean, think about the things.
Bill Callahan ain't coaching.
Think about the things that.
It's not Mitch Gershwin. Who are these names? Who are the old names that pin everything on them? Dennis Green? That dude? Is that one of the names?
Yeah.
Larry Michael.
Yo. Those people ain't here. The DEA is. Those people ain't here, and you botch this. You botch this. Those people ain't here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people here.
New culture. New name. New era.
Also, haven't heard from a lot of these folks who are in charge about this. And it's unfair that Ron has to sit at the podium and answer those questions when he's supposed to be coaching a football team.
At least Wright tweeted. And he said he's going to put out one of his like blog posts, the president's briefs.
Oh, good.
I don't know that you reschedule it, because at what point are we inconveniencing his family if they're all coming together?
Right,
they got stuff going on too.
And like I'm sure/I hope they have no idea about any of this backlash, and they're able to just look forward to this Sunday if it actually happens, and are able to enjoy it. Because that's all that matters, is that the Taylor family has positive memories, and the people who are there show up and are able to do all that. So I'm sure, just because we're so insulated on Washington Football Talk Twitter, for the overwhelming majority of the Taylors, it's just a great day. But, I mean, even they only have 10,000 towels, 10, JP.
10,000 towels.
And I get it. They're only going to have 13,000 fans, whatever. Just have more towels. Give
Let
one to every fan.
Everybody get a towel.
Like, you're cutting corners on this?
They spelled London Fletcher's name wrong in the Ring of Fame.
Yeah, let's make sure it's not S-H-A-W-N. It's S-E-A-N. For people who are running the graphics, S-E-A-N. Mitch?
In the moment, it's going to be a celebration. And the Taylors are going to feel the love from the fans there. We get
totally.
Everybody deserves to be outraged today and for, the next 72 hours. Come Sunday at 12:45 or whatever time, whether it's pregame or halftime, whenever they do the actual dedication, it's going to be all love, and they're going to feel it. But that doesn't mean we can't be outraged about the way that we got there.
Well said. Try to move it forward to some football here.
Okay.
Is this going to be more upbeat?
Sure.
Marginally?
It disappoints you, man. Like, we had people, like, in tears calling the radio show. Like, it's just so disappointing. What could come next that could be of this magnitude? It'd be Daryl Green or something, right?
Yeah, Joe Theismann, Daryl Green, Riggo, whoever the next
right.
And to some extent, I think that.
And this one's a little different because he's passed.
Right,
it's different.
But
it's
by retiring Sean Taylor's and
Bobby Mitchell,
thank you. Don't you open the door to almost having to retire Sonny and Daryl and Riggo? I don't know who the top five are or whatever, but I feel like over the next year or two or whatever the time frame is,
there's a bit of a backlog.
I think you need to start doing that, because all of a sudden now it looks like an affront to those guys, and they're at least alive and can appreciate it and be there, and they can wave and kiss babies and sign towels or whatever it is. Like,
only 10,000 of them though.
But you have a chance to celebrate these guys for what they did on the field and brought the Lombardi trophies here and all those different things.
All right.
Football time.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone, with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
I'm going to tell everybody a story. When we walked out of our undisclosed location last Sunday at FedEx Field, as we were walking out, we started talking about the Chiefs, and I said to you two, I said, do not let me talk myself into liking Washington and the points this week.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to.
Because we've done it a couple weeks now.
Every metric says to take Washington. All of them.
Everybody. Everything.
Like, if you
mean,
believe
take Kansas
it,
City or take...
No.
No. Well, so, any eye test and any thought of Tyreek Hill versus this defense...
Yeah, a snap judgment tells you Chiefs minus 6.5, what the hell? Right. I'll put everything on it and then some of yours, too.
But if you start looking... All the money's on Kansas City. Like, when they show the ESPN pregame show, yep. and it's all 10 people making their picks, all of them are going to be the Chiefs logo, the KC, Arrowhead. Yep. All of it. In those situations, I always like to take Washington. I always like to take the team that not
you.
Everybody's taking.
I hear you.
And you want to be on the same side as the casinos in Vegas.
Right.
The one thing I'll say, last week, JP, we were in the press box. Right before kickoff, you go, hey, how many people are in Tennessee this week?
No,
I said,
the Jacksonville.
I said, everybody. You said, give me the Jags. Jags lost by like 18.
Right.
Sometimes the public is correct.
Right.
Which is, I'm probably just going to stay away and just take Tyreek Hill to have 300 yards. But I hear you. This should be the week, the front four. Maybe they finally wake up and realize we have to kick ass for this to happen. There's all this crap rolling around. The players are just locked in. Taylor Heineke is able to run this offense really well. And the Chiefs, 3-13 against the spread in their last 16 games. They don't cover.
They're honoring Sean Taylor. Everyone's going to be fired up.
But I'm not going to touch it. It's either Chiefs or nothing.
I'll tell you what. The Chiefs have played a much better slate of football teams than Washington has. And part of the reason that their defense is ranked as low as it is because they've had to play the Bills, the Ravens, the Bucks, a couple other better offenses than Washington has.
They definitely haven't played the Bucks, but to play the Browns, the Bills, the Ravens. I hear you. The Chargers.
Chargers.
And Washington played
the Chargers tighter than the Chiefs did. Washington gives up big plays.
Now, in Mitch's defense here, he told me Wednesday or maybe even Tuesday, he's like, listen, I'm going to be bullish on this, and I don't care. Who knows it?
Washington gives up a ton of big plays, right? We know this?
Yes, they do.
You know
do.
Who's giving up more 40-plus yard plays than Washington?
No, this is the all anti-defense bowl coming to FedEx Field this weekend.
I think Washington's defense has some talent and is playing poorly. And Casey's got some talent, too. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Honey Badger.
They've got talent up front, but their linebackers are as big of a
I think their
train
linebackers
wreck.
Are worse than Washington.
Well, Washington only plays one linebacker these days, so.
Right. The Chiefs linebackers versus the linebacker for Washington. I think Washington's secondary. I think Washington's secondary is a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Listen,
it's comparing. Saying Washington's secondary is better than someone else, just say they both suck.
They both are bad. The difference to me is going to be up front. And the Chiefs' interior of the O-line is beat up or rookies. And John Allen, Matt Ioannidis, and Daron Payne should be able to do what they want.
About the Chargers having a totally new group. We said
Washington's
that about the Giants being banged up.
Washington's giving up 407 per game. Chiefs are giving up 437 per
game. We've said these reasons before. We've said this about different O-lines and different opponents, and they've been getting their ass kicked, so this is the time they wake up. They're going to do it all of a sudden against Mahomes and Andy Reid, who are coming off a loss?
They're going to smoke Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Giants have the worst O-line in the NFL.
Matt Ryan's a statue. Jameis Winston doesn't throw
hold on,
it ever.
Hold on. I'm not taking Washington to win this game.
I understand, but...
I just think that they keep it respectable. It's not going to be like the 2013 game in the snow.
So, Washington's giving up 31 a game. Chiefs are giving up 32.6. The problem for Kansas City, I think, is that their offense is kind of troubled right now. And I don't think you're crazy for thinking they cover. I just can no longer allow myself to think they're going to cover. I'm taking a week off.
Yeah, that's
I'm
fine.
I'm not saying I'm going to bet
sit
them.
Sit this one out.
I'm not saying I'm going to bet them. I'm just saying that I can see a scenario where they cover.
Like, my Sam Cassell pick of the week is tonight in Philly. It's not going to be in Landover on Sunday.
I love the Sam Cassell pick of the week segment. You tooting over there?
What? Why'd you just stop?
What?
It seemed like you just stopped.
Oh, I yawned.
Are we boring you, Mitch?
Yeah, what the hell?
Well, one thing I want to bring up is, so it's good. The players are still listening to Ron, which is good. Because you can tell they're listening to Ron because they'll drop his sayings here and there, the exact same kind of adages that he uses. And he came out on Monday and said, for 54 plays on defense, we were good. We played 56. I don't want to damn the 54 good ones when we were just bad on a couple. A few plays away on both sides. Kendall Fuller said the same thing on Wednesday. Taylor Heinicke said it about the offense. We heard Chase Young on Thursday discuss how it's just a couple plays in that New Orleans game. And I think this is troublesome for many reasons. Number one, the New Orleans game wasn't the first instance where this team is completely crashed into the side of a mountain on a couple plays. It's been an issue for all 5 weeks, so stop saying it's one or two plays here or there when it's those plays are continuously showing up. And number two, I don't know if you are close when you look at all the numbers, point differential, yards you're giving up on defense, your penalties, your turnover margin, they're all really bad. And number three, if you're telling your players that they're close, are you giving them a false sense of confidence? Are you not giving them a sense of urgency that they need to? So those
we
are my
used
three
to
points.
Hammer yes. Bruce when he'd say we're close.
Right.
Hammer.
Like, it was the most mockable statement ever. And I just think, hey, I'm glad they're still buying into Ron's message. I just don't know if this is the right message to be sending when you're 2-3. Because if you think you were close against the Saints and you come up with the same type of execution and effort against the Chiefs and the Packers, you're going to realize that the only thing you're close to is the bottom of the standings and the bottom of every single stat that matters.
They were talking about it during the Bills game about how, to JP's point about the Chiefs offense floundering a little bit, about how the league had kind of figured it out a little bit, play two deep safeties, don't let them beat you over the top, make them think and dunk you, have a 14-play drive, whatever it may be. Well, Washington, don't give up any big plays over the top. Start there. Start with no miscommunications, no complete and utter breakdowns on defense, and see where you go from there. But this Chiefs team has so much firepower, it's hard to imagine that Tyreek Hill's not going to get loose for a 60-yard touchdown and Travis Kelce's not going to be running free over the middle unfettered to first downs left and right.
Unfettered, he says.
I know Ron can't come out and MF his team with us. He's got to pretend like things are cool. He
kind of MF. Have we run the Rivera interview yet?
I don't think so, no.
Let's run Ron. So my interview with Ron was from Monday.
Yeah.
A lot has happened since, obviously. And then I have an interview with Chase Young. We're going to run both of those. He kind of dropped a bomb on Taylor.
Yeah.
Maybe quarterbacks you kind of can. It's just different.
Quick to criticize Taylor, but I just think there needs to be more of a, hey, let's wake up here. Not like, oh, we're going to wait. We're going to figure it out. We're close.
I thought Del Rio was like, so Del Rio came hard today. Del Rio got asked. I guess Alex Smith called the defense predictable. He's like, well, anybody can take shots, which is just kind of a gangster response.
Except for Alex Smith downfield.
That's also a gangster response. And then maybe it was Kime. Somebody asked him about kind of getting back to the predictability of the defense. And Jack's just like, listen, I don't have an answer for you. I'm not going to say something that you're like, oh, that makes sense. He's like, you guys are going to keep asking this until we play better. We got to play better.
Yeah. He said, have at it.
Yeah. Like, they're aware of it. He's aware of it. So, I mean, I guess awareness is a good sign of knowing there's a problem or something.
But then you have a lot of players saying, we just screwed up on the Hail Mary and the 72-yarder. Besides that, though, the other 54 players, we were really good.
They weren't.
Yeah, I know.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
So,
there's not one or two plays.
No, it's not.
Now, the dumb part, if you want to be devil's advocate, they lost by 11. You don't have those two plays. They win. It's 14, or it's at least 12.
Also, the turnover in the red zone and kicking field goals and not getting in the end zone on offense with Heinicke.
Yeah.
I mean, in any game,
I think Ron was so pissed after that game because that was a winnable game. and I maintain it was a winnable game. They didn't win it. They didn't play well enough to win, but they could beat New Orleans. That's not a team they can't beat. I'm not entirely sure they can beat Kansas City, even this floundering sub-500 version of Kansas City. And when we go to Lambeau, I'm not entirely convinced they can beat the Packers.
I'm not saying they can't.
I think they can beat Denver.
I'm not saying they can't beat Tampa. Agreed on both of those fronts. I don't think they're going to beat Tampa. I don't think they're going to beat Green Bay. Will I be surprised if they beat the Chiefs? Hell yeah. Do I think it's impossible? No.
This is Mitch setting up for, in the 1 out of 10 chance they do win, Sunday pod saying, I told you it wasn't impossible.
Right. Have I ever done an I told you so on a pod afterwards? No. Yes, I have.
Yes!
I wish it was easier to search audio because I would drop in about 10 I told you so.
I would love for you to find one.
We've all I told find you so on this pod.
Listen, I have certainly I told you so'd. Pete, it's rare.
If I had more to tell you so, I would tell you so more often.
But you have absolutely I told you so'd.
All right, I have definitely done that.
Everybody has.
Yeah. It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
And you ignore the times that you're wrong.
It's fairly remarkable you would act like you haven't.
That's appalling.
Have you ever farted?
Like, never. Never in my life.
You ever? Yeah. Should we do some of our segments? Are there other topics to get to?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll do some over-unders. And I think I have a fun over-under for us to do. It might involve counting during the game, which I don't want us to do.
Yeah. No outside arbiters.
All right. Quarterback props, Heinicke, 267.5 after having it at 248.5 last week. So, by the way, this is the highest over-under in a Washington game since 2013 against
Chiefs are
the
giving
Broncos.
Up. Kansas City's giving up 296 a game through the air.
Fire the over on that one.
Well, not that it matters because he ended up playing last week. We didn't see Curtis Samuel at all today at Thursday's practice, and he – didn't do anything at Wednesdays.
Or now, Sam Cosmi, for that matter.
I'm feeling fine about Antonio Gibson. Scott Turner said as much. Mm-hmm. I feel very bearish on Cosmi and Samuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and Sheriff, too.
Regardless, I think all signs are pointing to this being a shootout, so I'll go with Heinicke over 267 as well.
You said fire the over?
Over, because even if it's a Chiefs blowout, you're gonna have trash yards. And it's hard for me to think that Heinicke doesn't get to 300. And, you know, the people that want to see Heinicke is great are going to be like, look, he threw for 300 yards, you know, versus what we saw last week.
You play to win the game. You win this game by running the ball, controlling possession. Going under.
Wow. Bold.
You want to keep it close. Slow this thing down.
So you think we're going to see a
Make
Bill
the track
Callahan,
meet a mud pit.
You think we're going to see a Bill Callahan approach to the offense?
Two and a half hours.
No, Turner's a different coach. He's still going to, but I mean, Gibson had 20 carries last week.
Yeah.
I think you see that
That's
again.
That's kind of what I've been asked for. So they don't have Gibson's props posted. We could do McLaurin again, or we could do a Mahomes pass.
Do they have
Mahomes
do they not have just
yards?
Total rush yards?
We could always set that ourselves.
Yeah, we used to set this ourselves. Let's set it ourselves.
Cool. Yeah. Who the hell are we bowing down to my phone?
Not you, DraftKings.
Bethesda knows.
Or whatever app we're using.
DC now knows.
Yeah. Everybody knows.
Yeah, I mean, you're literally using DraftKings.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I don't know if we have other sponsors that care.
I don't care.
Yeah.
So Antonio Gibson went for 90, went for 60, 63, 31, 69, and 90. On the ground.
He's in the 60s.
He's in the 60s.
McKissick
generally.
Didn't get used a lot.
Chiefs are giving up .141 a game on the ground.
Should we include Heinicke in this too, by the way?
Or are we doing a rushing total here?
Running back rush yards or just Gibson rush yards?
Let's just do Gibson rush yards.
Just do Gibson.
Okay.
Let's set the number at
65? 68?
I was going to go higher than that, but okay.
I kind of think it's a 77.
I was thinking 74.5, but I'm good with 77.
77, and I'm going over.
Okay.
I'm going
76.5.
Ooh, that might change it for me.
Oh, Mitch's a formula.
I am also going over 77. I think he might get to 100, and we're going to see a 400 yards of offense day from this Washington football team.
I'm saying under because I just think Kansas City's going to jump out to an early lead, and it's going to cause Washington to have to keep up, and they're not going to be able to do that by sticking it in Gibson's gut.
Sticking it in, huh?
All right.
What was your idea for the fun one, Pete?
Well, it was going to be Jamin Davis snaps, but I also don't want to be responsible for counting those because that data is kind of hard to find immediately after
the game. Yeah, we won't get that immediately after the game.
So, you can play along at home. Do we want to do Kelce? Do we want to do Mahomes?
Let's do Mahomes passing yards.
All right.
I mean, that's the...
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill receiving yards?
Let's dance a little.
I mean...
What is it?
They only have Kelce right now at 83.5 and McLaurin at 80.5. No Tyreek. Probably because he's injured and they just want to make sure he plays. He's going to play.
So this is perhaps silly because I think I'm going to use this for my chips. So, yeah, forget it. Let's do Mahomes passing yards.
Okay.
Or do we want to set our own Tyreek
Hill? No, I was going to say, how about we all just predict and whoever's closest wins? Tyreek Hill. Name your number.
All right. I don't really get it, but it's not like a definitive over-under.
I think Tyreek Hill is going to have 135 receiving yards. And whoever's closest
he's
over
had two
or under.
Huge games and two bad ones. That's why I want to do an over-under.
Okay, fine. Listeners at home who love the gambling segments are...
But this isn't gambling. This is us talking. It's when we get in the weeds about six chips on.
I think we're in the weeds right now.
We live in the weeds.
We're weed whackers.
I always say this to people that.
You guys want to do Kelce receiving yards?
No. I want Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I want Tyreek Hill too. I always say this to other reporters about, like, covering the Washington football team. You know the Bane quote where he's like, He's like, I am from this.
Yeah.
This made me. Yeah. That's me with this damn team. Yeah. You walked over here.
Yeah.
We're from this nonsense.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill this season went for $197, $14.56, $186, $63. 99.5 receiving yards for Tyreek Hill.
Over.
And I
would... Under.
Oh, you are playing with a house fire right there.
I think he's
forest
gonna have,
fire.
They're gonna be.
He might have 99.5 on one catch.
There's gonna be two catches. Two catches that put him north of 99.5.
All right. I like where I'm at.
Like, I know this is the squarest of square plays. How does Mahomes and Tyreek Hill not just roast this secondary from beginning to end? How?
Well,
prove me
Kelce.
Wrong.
Kelce.
Here's the thing. Washington has to pick one of the two to take away between Kelce and.
In theory, they
I'm
should
not sure
try.
They'll take away either.
Yeah,
I know.
That's a great
theory
you got there.
They should take away one and figure it out from there.
I mean, maybe the best defense
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out. Make them beat you with the run, but I don't know what they can do more to discourage a pass.
Deontay Harris scored a 70-yarder on this team last week.
I'll give
conclude on that.
Grant Paulson a shout-out here.
Your boy.
I told
him on radio that Danny needs to watch out because you might be coming first.
Right before
those two are doing live radio the whole game, sitting right behind us.
Right before the game started, he goes, Deontay Harris is going to score a 50-plus yard touchdown.
Nailed it.
I hopped on the over 22.5 Deontay Harris receiving yards, and one play, hit it.
Give me like Mecole Hardman, like one of those dudes. One of those dudes are going to.
Yeah, they can't like put DeMarcus the Robinson.
They can't put any of the receiver props until Tyreek
Hill. Dude, Josh Gordon might. He had 1 for 11 last week. This
would
be a game
how
for
Josh
him.
Gordon of it? How would it be for it to go
right,
11 for 180?
Chips.
I'm not allowing myself to take the skins and the points, all right?
Do not.
All 100 chips. You ready for a Sam Cassell pick?
Yeah.
On the under.
Hold on tight.
All of them.
Because everyone needs the over.
It said it's 55.
Pete, do you have your points band thing up?
Oh, I got 55.5 here.
55.5 under for you. I do not have points band, Mitch.
Okay, then F it. I'll just take all 100 on the over 55.5. Actually, 100 over the Chiefs' point total of 31. Chiefs will score more than 31 points all 100 chips.
Going. Dude, I'm looking this up. 86% of the tickets are on the over and 60% of the cash.
No, I'm going to put
60% of the tickets, 80% of the cash.
I'm going to do an alternate spread. I think after this.
See, this is where you're getting in the week.
I'm just saying.
We're just picking overs and unders, now you want to do a fucking alternate spread.
After this awful week, it's going to cap off in some more futility. Chiefs minus 13.5 plus 190.
That is what ruins the 100 chips and makes me want to cancel it.
I said it really quick. 100 chips on that.
But it's just so weird. Most people, like to a general audience that listens to the podcast, they don't know what the that means.
That means the Chiefs are going to destroy this team and I'm going to make 100 chips on it.
Well, you would make 190 chips because it's plus 190.
Right. If you thought that, you would just bet the Chiefs lay in the 6.5.
Just lay the 6.5.
No. No, it's fine. You've already done it.
Yeah.
But that's the exact problem.
I don't think it's an issue, but go ahead. Benjamin Franklin.
I got to stay under 55.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I've had my number locked in
your portfolio.
For a while. 37-33 Chiefs. Shootout.
45-21 Kansas City. Get right, right help, game.
Remind me to stay under the number here.
28-27 Chiefs is at, under the number.
27.
But you also have to make sure Washington doesn't cover it because you've been saying they wouldn't do that.
I'm just saying I'm not betting on it.
Okay.
They might.
Okay.
27-24 Chiefs.
All right. That's under 51, but Washington covers.
Will that do anything?
I am not on the Washington.
Will that do anything to improve the outlook of this season?
Yeah. Play all decent? Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't think Ron's yelling at anybody next week after a 27-24 loss.
Yeah.
If they hold them 27, we're going to be praising the defense after this game.
Although,
speak for yourself.
I'm out of the moral victory business. They don't appear to be. Mm-hmm. I'm out of it. They seem to be
firmly
very
rolling
much
in it.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost done here. We got a Ron Rivera interview and a Chase Young interview coming up. Pete had an adult question.
Yeah, it could be quick.
It could be long.
Kim and I are getting a new mattress. What do you do?
Spend
with,
money.
What do you do with your old mattress?
Chuck it.
Like, how do you? Where do you chuck it?
So I don't know in D.C., but in Montgomery County, at least, you can schedule a bulk trash pickup, which is kind of weird for you in an apartment building.
Right.
I would just check like D.C. Department of Waste or whatever. They probably just pick them up.
What size bed do you are you currently
in? We have
in?
A full, and we want a queen because our bed frame is falling apart. We have books underneath it.
You, the two of
that's
you are sleeping in a full
bed.
Yeah. Wow. And we have stacks of books under each corner
spend
of the frame because it's
king.
Cracking. Yeah,
yeah live get a king.
No, because our room is kind
of tiny.
You
tell us you're rich.
We're getting a new bed frame and a new mattress. That's kind of going to be pricey. So
you know what my suggestion for the mattress is get one of the ones that, not a cheap one, but they deliver them to you.
Yeah.
And then you can open them in the room and it unfurls. And
oh, that sounds kind of fun.
And it's nice. But just get a nice
if
one.
If you order, depending who you order from, they come in and put it all together.
I would
you.
Love that.
Do that.
Yeah. Also, a full-size mattress you can put in your car, drive to a dump.
The dump,
and,
yeah.
And drop
dump
it.
Don't
like
you
Rockville.
Need, like, stickers to get into the dump?
No.
No. You don't need stickers. Huh. You just go.
Hey, this is foofy to say. You need a sticker for the Cape Cod dump.
You also can just find a dumpster behind a building in D.C. and effing dump it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
That's what I did with my last mattress.
All right, I'll do that.
I will say this. Mark Titus does College Hoops. Said this on Part of My Take one time, and it's very true. Spend money on things that separate you from the ground.
Shoes,
car tires, beds.
Wow.
Think about your bed.
You spend more time in your bed than anything else.
Get a good bed.
Yeah, that's how it's – you refresh and recharges you, and God knows we need that every day on this job. So yeah,
the question is, are you guys both on the same page in terms of firmness?
Yeah, firmness.
Firmness is a big
issue between
me and
my wife.
Anywhere, so I'm going to let Kim kind of take the lead.
All right.
Are you a soft mattress or firm mattress?
I like soft. Lauren likes firm.
I'm a firm guy, too.
Huh. I
maybe
thought
you should marry her.
Oh, God. No comment.
She's more than welcome to spend the night at my house. Or whatever she
what the actual f***?
Oh, my God.
I was debating it. The softball was in the air. I decided to take a swing at it.
I don't know if you missed or hit it 800 feet, but
one or the other.
I also wanted to Mitch is going to an NBC party. Is that accurate?
No, this is JP's Happy revenge.
So Mitch is going to an NBC party. Pete, were you invited to the NBC party?
I'm not on the listserv that they invited, that they sent it out. And
I am certainly not invited.
Yeah. So you want to go to our own happy hour?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But no, I can't. Because I have to go tape a show over there.
Oh.
But I can't go to the party.
I see. So you'll be in the building, but you can't go to the party. It's all work, no fun makes JP a very dull boy.
There you go. I think party might be a little bit of a stretch here.
Sounds like a party.
You've been excited about it all day.
You've been talking about it all day.
You wanted to do the pod later so you could go to the party early.
All false.
You have been talking about it. True.
I mentioned it one time.
I take the over on one.
Over on I told you so's and party statements.
Maybe.
Parlay, though.
Maybe he didn't talk about it that much because he knew we weren't invited.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's four managers. Neither the two of you are.
Oh, big time.
Big finish to the pot.
Big time.
Sorry, boys.
Yeah. Wasn't there a party during the day?
Pete was invited to that one.
I wasn't.
For the worker bees.
Well, your email was.
I don't have email. They took it.
That's a whole other issue.
I don't get email anymore, and I'm not doing anything about it.
I imagine they had ice cream.
I'm not going to name names. I talked to someone. I was like, hey, my email doesn't work.
Is it because you can't name the name?
No, I can.
Okay.
But they're like, oh, it should load. So the answer was it should load. Waiting for it to load.
Cool. Get there eventually.
We'll get there eventually. Here comes, what do you want first, Ron or Chase?
We'll do Chase first because it's more recent, and then we'll have, if you want to stick around for Ron.
There you go.
Stick around for Ron.
Thanks for listening.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Always appreciate getting to talk to Mr. Chase Young, defensive end for the Washington football team. Chase, you guys are sitting at 2-3 through five games. Rivera has talked about being frustrated and disappointed. I imagine you feel the same. How has this first kind of month, five games of the season gone?
Definitely not like we planned, but, we're sticking together. We're still working hard. We're not going to keep our foot off the gas until everything get right. I feel like that's the best thing that we could do right now.
You have been really close the first 4 weeks of the season. You finally get your first sack against the Saints. Not just a sack, but you also forced the fumble there. How good did it feel to just kind of finally get one?
That first one, get off your chest. Now everybody said, now you can go play now. You know what I'm saying? Because you know you can get there. But it felt good, man. But, we got to put that we got to put that behind us and, got to keep moving forward.
It's big plays that buried the Saints game. What's your reaction when you look back on the 72-yarder or the Hail Mary, either of them? You look back and you're just like, oh, my God, how did that happen?
Just one thing, One person out of position, one person not doing their job. And, we're not going to stop, emphasizing, take care of yours and do your job. So, I feel like we just got to stay on that. We got to stay on that mission. And, our best is going to come.
Does it get hard for you guys to kind of stay positive, stay in the moment, stay bonded as one?
I wouldn't say stay bonded as one. It definitely gets frustrating when, we had the talent and you just don't see it. But what we do well, I feel like we stick together. We still trust each other. And, ain't none of these guys laying their hats down. We all keep going forward.
You guys have been deploying that five-man front a little bit more. Do you like that?
I do. 5-0.
And what does it allow you a little more freedom? Certainly you're getting more pass rushers on the field.
Yeah, definitely. It can do that. It gives the offensive linemen one-on-ones. So if you got 5-D linemen, you got 5-0 line. They got a single blocking. So, you put that on the field, you get one-on-one.
What's it like to be an incredibly explosive athlete like you are and then trying to work in moves to counter? Because these linemen are grinding your tape every week. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to provide different looks. How is it to juggle all that while you're playing?
Name of the game. We'll come with it. And, I'm cool with it. I just got to take it how it is, take it for what it is, and you know, just make sure every day that I'm locked in on my job, because, you know, just like I watch them, they watching me. And, you know, I'm never going to stop. So, yeah, just got to keep going.
Knowing that you're facing Mahomes this week, does that maybe ramp things up for you guys?
You definitely get a little excited, kind of in the back, you know. You know, this game is it's going to be in his hands. The ball is going to be in his hands majority of the game. And, you know, you get a chance to get after him. So,
he's a wizard. I mean, his escapability, do you guys have to change how you rush the passer, knowing how he can move and even run downfield?
I can't tell you everything, but I will say, you know, we're looking for him to hold the ball. You know, obviously because the game is in his hands, so he's going to try to extend plays. And that's when we had to take advantage of it.
I wanted to ask you this, and this is a little different. Last year, your rookie year started like wildfire. I mean, that game against the Eagles, you were crazy, right? And it was all love the whole rookie season. You dealt with the injury, then you came back, and you saved the season last year, that hit on Joe Burrow. I've said that a million times. That's my theory. You and I first met at the Combine now 2 years ago.
Right.
And you hadn't been drafted by Washington yet, but it was pretty obvious you were gonna. And I asked you about playing for your hometown team, and you said, you know, if it happens, I'm really excited. I'd love to be in front of my friends and family. But sometimes in D.C., you see this fake love. And that quote always stuck with me. And then your rookie year was all ice cream and roses. This year you guys have encountered some adversity. Have you seen any of that, some of that concerns you had before you were drafted here?
Not really, because only voices I really care about is inside my circle. And I've definitely said it last year. You can hear the praise, you can hear the hate. You got to block both of them out. I know whose voice matters. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody who's saying something, a lot of people talking about you, you're doing better than they are. That's why they chirping. So, you know, you just got to put that to the side, focus on the controllables, and just, you know, just keep going forward.
All right, this is my real last one, then.
For sure.
And I don't really know how to phrase this.
Yeah.
Whenever I see a picture of you and your dad, I'm always stunned by how big your dad is.
Yeah, he's 6'10".
How big, like, is it weird for you to just see a dude that's way bigger than you?
No, because it's my dad. So, you know, it's like, you know, coming up, your dad's, you know, bigger than you.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like my whole life, he's been bigger than me. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. It
just feels normal because he's my dad. So it's like my dad's supposed to be bigger than me because he's my dad. So
whenever I see the picture, I'm just like, oh, my God, that dude is huge.
Yeah, he's 6'10". He about 320, 330.
Yeah, big man. Yeah. Thank you. Good luck getting to Patrick this week.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Appreciate always getting to talk to Washington head football coach, Mr. Ron Rivera. After that game yesterday, understandably, you spoke at length about how frustrated you were. You get to sleep on it. You get to grind the tape. How are you feeling about that Saints game now?
Well, you know, it's funny. You're never as good as you think and never as bad. It's an old saying, but it's a true saying, because when you really break it down, you look at it defensively, we made some strides compared to where we've been the first few weeks. Two plays, really, on the defensive side. If you could take them back, we'd take them back, and it would change the outcome for sure, but you can't. Well, that's the hard part. Offensively, there are some really good things, some great individual efforts, some great guys stepping up, being the next man up, that continue to allow us to play and compete. But then, of course, we had a couple of guys do more than they needed to again. And not to pick on Taylor, but Taylor forced it a couple times, and he's trying to do too much sometimes. And if he sticks to what he can do, he'll give a much better chance to win.
Talking about Taylor forcing it, a couple of the pick down by the goal line, what did he see?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that from where he is in his perspective, I think he sees the opportunity with Terry. But in that case, you know, it's tough to say because, you know, him, he really believes he can do it.
Sure.
You know, in his second pick, was pretty much the same thing. He tried to put a little too much touch on it and drop it over the top. But the guy's a competitor, and it's hard to fault him because you love the fact that he's competing and he's trying to win.
One of the efforts, at least I thought was really impressive yesterday, was Antonio Gibson.
Yes.
I mean, grinding out some tough rush yards, with that stress fracture in his shin. How do you think the run game looked? You got DeAndre Carter involved there. It seemed like maybe you knew you had to lean on the run game because maybe Taylor didn't have his best stuff.
Well, I think also, though, when you're running the ball effectively, it takes the pressure off. The play action means a lot much, and I think that's kind of what's happening because we've been able to run the ball effectively. It has helped with the play action. It has helped with the ability to throw the ball downfield. That's where Taylor really shines. So we got to continue to really keep implementing the run game because it will help the rest of our passing game.
That O-line's starting to get banged up on you. How do you feel they perform with some new pieces out there, and how's it look going forward?
I thought they performed pretty well. Once Cornelius Lucas settled in, he really played his game. I like what we're getting for Wes Schweitzer. I think Wes is a stout, powerful guy that really does some good things. And for the most part, I thought as a group, as a unit, they played very well. I mean, in the four games that Taylor started, knock on wood, we've only given up 5 sacks. And 3 of them you could attribute to Taylor.
Yep.
But Taylor has gotten us out of some holes, so you can't complain. You really can't. They've done a great job.
Yeah, we got to watch a lot of Schweitzer last year. That guy just has such a physical, kind of nasty attitude. Let's circle back to the defense because you mentioned the two plays. You often talk about trying to build something here. How do you talk to the guys when, by and large, say you're happy with most of the defensive effort, but then you have plays like that?
Well, the big thing is, more so than anything else, and it's the first time I've really had a chance to talk about it this year, this was a matter of 4, 5, or 6 plays. You can take any of those. If you could, the game changes. And that's how football is. Everybody plays the same, except that there's 4, 5, 6 plays that you either make or they make. And that's the difference in the game. And to be able to say that now, say, guys, dang it, you did some good things. We took some big strides. It's a matter of 2 plays on the defensive side. We don't allow those 2 plays. It's a different outcome. So we're learning, we're growing, and that's how we're going to approach it. And that's what I said to the guys. I told them, I said, guys, this is really what it came down to, was we didn't make 2 plays when we had a chance. We didn't knock the ball down. We didn't stay over the top. That's on us. Offense, they say the same thing. You know, hey, if Taylor doesn't have to scramble, he's got Dax Mill in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. Instead, we got to kick a field goal. You know, so if we could have pass protected a little bit better.
Sure.
We had a play. You know what I'm saying? If we don't get pushed to the ground and we're still up and we pivot out, we have a chance to throw a touchdown instead of having to kick a field goal.
Right.
I mean, that's 8 points. You know what I'm saying? So there's those little things that you can harp on, and the truth is you can't change them. But to be able to say that and say, okay, we're making progress, we're getting where, it's early, it's young, it's still, I mean, it's the beginning of the season. So now's the time, if we're going to make mistakes, make them the first few weeks. Now let's say, okay, we're where we want to be. Let's go out and see what happens.
For me, as an outside observer, the Hail Mary is an outlier. It's a fluky.
Yep.
That just doesn't happen. It happened one time, right? But the deep shot in the first quarter there,
yes.
That's been a recurring problem. How can you guys address that specifically?
Well, that one, again, that came on a quick snap, got us a little bit. We've got to be a little bit better aware. We got to make sure we're getting the calls out on time. The players are communicating, getting themselves set, and let's play football. I mean, that falls on all of us.
Which one bugs you more of those two? To me, it's the deep shot because it's happened before. But I know that Hail Mary – there's no chance you noticed me, but I was standing there when you guys were running off the field. You look pretty darn upset at the moment.
Well, the reason being is, you know, when it happens, it's one of those things where you sit there and say, okay, they got 8 seconds. If we line up all the way deep, they're going to throw a quick out and either put themselves in field goal position or take a better shot. I mean, what could be better than the one they completed, but to get a better shot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we went with the call that says, hey, we protect the sidelines. As the play goes, it converts to a deep ball defense, okay? Because we had guys up over the top.
Yep.
We had guys carrying them underneath. And you'd like to be able to make sure we're in position, we're matching somebody, and now it's a jump ball. And that's really what it was. We were out of position on whoever was responsible for Galloway.
That was a wild one. You got to turn the page. That's life in the big city, right? You got the Kansas City Chiefs coming in. When ESPN flies their graphic of all 9 people on their shows and what games they're picking, I'm expecting to see a lot of Chiefs logos.
Yeah.
How do you use that this week with your team?
Well, mostly because there's no pressure. That's the truth. Now we don't have to. Oh, you know, you don't have to win. You don't have to worry about it. That's great. We don't have to worry about that. We line up and play football. We'll show up on Sunday and then see what happens.
Does it carry a little juice for you to coach against Andy Reid?
Yes, it does. Coach is great. He really is. He's one of the all-time best, one of the all-time favorite people in my life that has really, truly helped me. And so when I coach against Coach, I want our guys to play hard. I want at the end of the game him to say, Coach, you guys played hard, man. That's all that matters. It really does, because that means you're coaching them the right way. I take a lot of pride in that. I really do. And to be able to be competitive against coaches is a pretty big deal.
Got a chance for it Sunday.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Mark.
All righty.
Every time you think it can't get worse, it gets worse.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.